produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Happy Friday and welcome to the Mommy Meltdown. My name is Dorothy Gates and I am your humbled host today and so grateful for you to join me on today's episode of the Mommy Meltdown. Here, we have been talking about how to sparkle and shine as a mom. And this topic has been inspired from the book that I wrote several years ago, just about our confidence in the Lord and how to sparkle, how to be a light in a dark and dreary world. But so often we get so consumed about letting our light shine in other places, we fail to shine our light in the most important mission field, and that's in our home. And so, ladies, we've been talking about how to let that light shine in your home, how to be a powerful influence to your children, how your light is to be impacting the next generation, starting right there in your home. And so today we're going to be talking about a valuable lady. You know, we live in a world where there's just a lot of topic about being a woman, and not even long ago, a poem was written that was called "I Am a Nasty Woman." And I'm not going to lie, it just completely baffled me when I heard this poem and the vulgarity that was coming from it and just everything that it stood for. And I want to say that I apologetically stand as a lady. I am a lady that is a perfect design created by my Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no apologies for being a woman. There's no apologies for being a feminine woman. I am a wife. I am a mother. And I am a homemaker. That is the calling that God has put upon my life, to be a helpmeet to my husband, to be a helper in my home. And let me tell you, being feminine does not make me second class. It doesn't make me a doormat. And I'll say, as a woman, I am proud to be a woman. I'm not confused about my gender. I'm not ashamed of my gender. I don't have to identify with being a woman because I am a woman. And I make no apologies for that. I am a girly girl. Maybe just a tad bit high maintenance, but okay, well, maybe a lot high maintenance. But, you know, being feminine, being high maintenance, being a stay-at-home mom does not make me a worthless doormat or a second-class citizen. And I've heard a lot of garbage. I'll just put it like that, a lot of garbage that says I'm not valuable. I'm not worth anything. My life is worthless because I don't go and make X amount of dollars, or I don't have this successful career title behind my name. And I want to just say, that's a lie straight out of the pits of hell. Now, if God has called you to go and be a witness in the workplace and to go and provide for your family, then you live that calling. You be who God created you to be. But if God has created you to be a stay-at-home mom and to raise your children and to nurture them and to train them up for the Lord, you make no apologies for that. You do not allow anyone to make you feel worthless or less valuable. Because let me just tell you this. I want you to hear me good, ladies. Your value does not come from your career. Your value does not come from how much money you have in your bank account. Your worth does not depend on what title you have behind your name or how many titles you have behind your name. That's not where your worth and value comes from. Neither does my worth and value come from my husband, my children, my accomplishments, how clean my house is, the denomination of the religion I am, who I voted for, the size dress I wear, how many followers I have on social media. Listen, that's not where my value comes from or my worth. My worth and my value come from Jesus and from God, the King of Kings, who sent Jesus to come and die on the cross for me because he thought I was valuable enough to send his most prized possession. So that tells me that I'm loved, I'm cherished, I'm adored, and that's where my value and that's where my worth lies. And I'm kind of just getting a little bit tired of this lie that the world has created, that to be a valuable woman, you have to have this big fancy career and a big huge house and a brand new shiny car and hundreds of followers on social media, and you have to be the successful person, because that's a lie. So just remember that the world paints a picture of what a new modern woman is supposed to be. And this modern woman is someone who's, she's tough and rough, and she's got this perfectly toned body and a very successful job. And she probably doesn't even have cellulite. But let me just say that this woman, she may look on the outside like she can do it all. And she may act like she can take anything from anybody. And she's got a hard heart and a strong backbone. And she's someone who doesn't show her feelings and share her heart with others. She doesn't open up because she's tough. And she doesn't need anyone. She knows how to get the job done. She doesn't need the help of a man. She depends only on herself. She lives for herself. She lives for her dreams. She lives for her career. And she's more concerned about the money she can make than the people around her. She might consider herself a powerful, independent woman. And according to this poem, she considers herself a nasty woman. But let me just say that that's not who God intended women to be. God created women to be soft, nurturing, tender, loving, compassionate, kind, merciful, beautiful, feminine, soft and tender. So this new modern woman is living in a role that God never intended. You see, let me just tell you a little bit about what a woman should be. A woman was created to be loved. Loved by the Creator, not to be a heartless creature. And that just shows me that I am not a heartless creature. I am loved by my Creator. I'm not a robot. I'm a woman full of emotions. And you are too. You're a woman full of emotions. You're not Superwoman. You were never intended to be Superwoman. You were a woman who needs others. You were created to be a helper, which means as a helper, you enjoy the help of others as well because you're a helper. You're not a hard-hearted woman. I'm not a hard-hearted woman. You are a woman designed to have a tender heart. And we cannot allow social media to define who women are supposed to be, who we're supposed to be as moms. We can't allow the world or Hollywood to say that this is who we're supposed to be. You are cherished and loved and valuable. You're sensitive. You're worthy. Take pride in that. Those are things. Those are gifts that God has given you. Now, does that mean that there's anything wrong with being strong and independent and hardworking? Absolutely not. No. In fact, if you were to look at women in the Bible, most women in the Bible that we learn about their character, their strong character, and their very hard work ethics. In fact, when you look at probably the most famous woman in the Bible, Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, we actually see that she was one tough cookie who knew how to work very hard. She helped provide for her family. And she also always was responsible for tending to their well-being. But there's a very big difference in this virtuous woman and the modern woman that society wants to paint a picture of. So how about we just look at this Proverbs 31 woman and we look how she has a tough backbone. But that tough backbone is wrapped in wisdom, grace, virtue, honor, gentleness, and kindness. Now, we're familiar with the passage of Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. And I'm not, just for the sake of time, I'm not going to go into reading all of that. But it would be great for you to go back and just kind of reread that just so you can remember all the things that she was so known for. I mean, she was famous for going and working willingly with her hands and allowing her husband to trust in her. She was known for going and bringing forth food from afar, rising up early while it was still dark at night and making sure that everyone was attended to and had food. And she was known for going and buying land and then planting a vineyard. She was known for her clothing, her merchandise. She was known for working hard and using her hands to do things. She was also very community-minded. I love this because kind of in the middle of all these attributes, it's talking about how she works so hard. It just pops in the middle of that and talks about how she also helped the poor and needy, and she did things for them. But then it goes on to talk about how she made sure her family was clothed and how they were taken care of. And she was just known for working hard. She was not someone who just sat around and looked pretty. She was known for her work ethics. And she was also known for her kindness. For when she opened her mouth, with wisdom, and in her tongue was the law of kindness. Now, that says a lot, ladies. That says and reminds us that as a woman, we should be wise. We should be kind. So, remember that a virtuous woman has a servant's heart and wraps her toughness with that gentleness and kindness. A virtuous woman lives for others. She doesn't live for herself. She lives for others. This virtuous woman fears the Lord. A virtuous woman allows her husband to be the head of the home. Now, I know I just hit that subject right there where some of you just tuned me out right there. You're like, nope, I didn't want to hear that. But this virtuous woman did things behind the scenes so her husband could be the one in the limelight. Her husband was the one who sat in the gates. And that was a high esteemed place of society, to sit in the gates with the leaders of the town. And so she did things, freeing up his schedule to allow him to go and do the things that were necessary for him. So there's things in our lives that we can do to help push our husbands forward. And yet a lot of times what we do is we want the spotlight. We want the glory. We want the fame, instead of allowing our husbands to be the head of the home and to be the ones, you know, that we're pushing forward. So this virtuous woman, we see where she built her husband up and he trusted in her. This virtuous woman was a very hard worker. She put her family first. I love this. I mean, you see how she saw to the needs of her family, and everything she did was for her family, for the people who worked in her home, for the people who she was responsible for. So she kept them first. I love how she also was very mindful of the people, her employees, those who worked for her. So that tells me that even in the workplace, ladies, you need to be mindful of the people you work with. Tender and compassionate. It's not a game of cloak and dagger where you're pulling someone else down so you can move up on top. And you see that a lot where women will pull someone down just so they can climb the ladder. And that's not who God intended you to be. God intended you to be a kind woman who works hard. And when the time comes, you trust in the Lord to build you up. And the Lord will. The Lord says that He is the one who esteems one person, and He can build you up. So you don't have to worry about that yourself, okay? You just be faithful to God and allow God to be faithful to you. So we also see that she was a home worker, a homemaker. Yes, she worked outside the home. She did things outside the home, but she also attended to the needs of her home. So don't forget that even in the midst of busyness and running and doing that, your home is still a very important place for you. And you need to fight to make that home a safe haven for your family, a happy place, a clean place, an enjoyable place, the place where they want to run to at the end of the day, okay? So don't forget to be a homemaker. And remember that she was a lady of God, a woman of God. And so as a lady of God, let's remember that we do want to be independent, but we do want to be 100% dependent on God. Isn't that a great thought? Like, we want to be independent. We want to do things and be strong and be courageous. But at the same time, we also need to remember where that independence comes from. It comes from the liberty that God has given us. So we need to depend on Him. As a lady of God, you want to be strong, but gentle. Learn how to be gentle. That's a beautiful word. I think just even saying the word makes you want to be gentle. But that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. That's evidence that you're walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit when you are gentle. You're gentle in the way you treat others. You're gentle in the way you speak to your children. You're gentle in the way you love your husband and you respond to the people in your family. Gentle. As a lady of God, you can have a backbone. You can be tough. You can be strong, but you can be gracious. Gracious. That's another beautiful word. Gracious. You can be firm. Listen, there are times in your life where you have to be firm. You have to take a stand. There is nothing wrong with being firm. But in the way you use that firmness, wrap it up with compassion. The Bible says some having compassion making a difference. It doesn't say in those who are firm make a difference. No. Wrap that firmness with compassion and see how it will transform. All right, so that also means that when you're trying to get a point, you don't have to yell at people. You don't have to scream at people. You don't have to cuss at people. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to belittle anyone. You can be firm and be compassionate while you're being firm. All right, as a lady of God, I want to be tenderhearted, but not a pushover. I think this is where a lot of us need to know how to draw that line. We're being very tenderhearted. We're being kind. We're being gracious. We're being gentle, but we're not allowing people to push us over. Just because you're a woman of God doesn't mean you have to be a little mouse that gets stepped on all the time. No. But just like I said, you can be firm, but be compassionate and be kind in the way you handle things. So be tenderhearted, be kind, be gracious, be gentle, but also don't allow people to use you and abuse you and take advantage of you. All right. And then also, I love this thought. Listen, be humble, but know your value. Being humble doesn't mean you are a pushover. Again, that word pushover. Being humble doesn't mean you let everyone pass you over. You know your value. You know your worth. You are a child of the King, the daughter of the one true God, which makes you an heir to the throne. It makes you a royal descendant, which makes you a princess, honey. And as a princess, believe me, a princess knows her value, knows her worth. So you can be humble and confident. You're allowed to do those things. You're allowed to do that because you know your value. You know who you are because you know who you belong to. And you know, you can stand with conviction on your beliefs, but show immeasurable kindness to those who don't agree with you. And I think this is where our world is so divided right now. When people don't agree, they just think, well, I have no use for you. I have no point. There's no point in us being friends anymore if we don't agree. And that's not how things used to be. It used to be, you believe the way you do, I respect you. I believe the way I do, you respect me, and we're still friends. And then there was the old saying, we'll agree to disagree. But now we see where, nope, if you don't think like me, if you don't act like me, if you don't live like I do, then I can't associate with you. And I don't think that you'll find that anywhere in the Bible. We are showed time and time again how Jesus was kind and loving and tenderhearted and compassionate to those around him. Also, as a lady of God, you can be a hard worker, but not hard-hearted. Okay, I like that one. Be a hard worker. Let those people around you know that you are a child of the King and you know what good work ethics mean. You work hard. In fact, I believe that as a Christian, you should be the hardest worker, the happiest worker, the most positive worker. You shouldn't show up to something grumbling and complaining and gossiping and criticizing and just showing the hard, resentful, bitter heart that you have. No, you should be showing a heart that is just wrapped by the love and mercy of God. And that's what you're trying to show as well. So be a hard worker, but not hard-hearted. And listen, as a lady of God, you want to keep your balance. You want to keep a balance and keep your priorities in check. It's very easy as a full-time working mama to let work consume you and be all that you think about. But you want to be balanced. As a lady of God, you want to remember what's the most important things in your life. That job is a means to an end. It's not the whole package right there. It's not everything. It's just what you need to help you survive and to provide for your family. So don't allow it to consume your life. Don't allow it to take over your life. It's a means to an end. It's just there to help you to provide for your family. So keep your priorities in check. Listen, distractions hit so quickly, and distractions are typically good things. And what happens is the devil wants to get you so consumed and so busy with good things that you begin to neglect the important things. And the important things are your walk with God, your relationship with him, your husband, and your children. And when you begin to get those things out of order, then balance just gets so off kilter. So keep priorities in check. And then don't ever forget that as a woman of God, you want to live your life loved by the creator of the universe. You want to live loved, and you also want to love. So just remember that as a woman of God, you want to sparkle and shine for Jesus. You want to reflect the ways of God, not the ways of the world. And set that example in your home. All these things that we talked about being strong but gentle, and being having a backbone that's wrapped in graciousness, and being firm yet compassionate, being tenderhearted but not a pushover, being humble but knowing your value. All those things can be applied in your home to your children, showing your children what a valuable woman is. And remember that you're a valuable treasure, one that was paid for at a great price. Don't forget that. Sometimes the world will make you feel less than valuable because you don't make much money, or you don't have a glamorous job, or the perfect figure, or your house doesn't measure up to someone else's, or you don't have a boat or all the toys. And so you begin to find your value and in other places, and you began seeking for it in the wrong places. But let me just say that no amount of success, money, muscles, designer shoes, purses, careers, nothing like that, none of it will ever give you permanent worth, permanent value, permanent contentment that you're seeking for. Now, it might give you some temporary glory, a little bit of fame along the way, and contentment, and it may seem glamorous for a season, but just like snow on a warm, sunny day will melt, it dissolves, so will temporary satisfaction. It doesn't last long, but your worth and your value in God will last for an eternity. Prepare to close with this verse right here, 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God paid that ultimate sacrifice for you. You're very valuable to Him. So as a virtuous lady who knows her self-worth and knows her value, live for Him. Keep your eyes on Him and glorify Him in everything you do. Your actions, your character, your speech, your mannerisms. Live for Him, and you will find out that that's a life worth living. Full of worth and value. Ladies, have a blessed day, and go love on your children, love on that husband, and go make a difference in your home, and then go make a difference in the world. Blessings, and talk to you next time on the Mommy Meltdown.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuning in to the What Now God radio show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. And as usual, we're going to start off with Romans chapter 12, 1 through 8. And it goes like this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. And let the church say amen.
Welcome to this month's segment of the What Now God radio show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. I'm author of the book, My Life Was Falling Apart. Oh, but it was God putting me back together, as well as my newest release, Mind Your Business Lady, the Women Entrepreneur's Complete Guide to Doing What You Love and Getting Pay to Do It. Welcome, welcome. Hello, February. We are in our first week of February, and I don't know about you guys, but I am feeling refreshed. I'm feeling renewed. I am feeling rejuvenated. All right. 2020 and the beginning of 2021 has definitely been one hell of a year. Yes, I said it, one hell of a year. Okay. We have went through so much, but guess what? We survived. We are here. So again, welcome to the What Now God radio show. I thank you so much for tuning in. It is the first Friday of the month, which is when you can catch new segments of the What Now God radio show. Look out for new topics. Look out for new guests as we tackle the question, what now, God? What do we do now in such a time as this? What do we do now as Christian brothers and sisters to help, to uplift, to support, to encourage, to inspire and motivate each other so that we can help to make this world a better place, okay? One prayer, one person at a time. So again, thank you so much. Today we're going to discuss the topic, how do you heal? How do you heal? All right. We have been through, like I said, one hell of a 2020. At the beginning of the year, we dealt with the pandemic. We're still dealing with COVID-19. We're still suffering. It's still, you know, devastating our country, devastating the world. We dealt with Black lives being taken by hired police officers who were hired to serve and protect. We have been brutalized. We have had to watch over and over deaths, starting with George Floyd, which actually wasn't the start because we know it's been going on for a long time, but something that we all had to witness on television or on social media, for those of you who actually saw it. And it has been devastating. 2020 has been a year of loss. 2020 has been a year of sorrow. 2020 has been a year that a lot of us may want to just forget, that has hurt us, that has left us feeling broken, that has left us feeling like, you know, there's no end in sight to it, have left us probably asking, why, God, why? So today we're going to discuss the topic, how do we heal? All right. And maybe you have went through something else in 2020. Maybe it wasn't just COVID and all the losses and the deaths and the sicknesses that we've experienced, not just as a country, but as families, right? Maybe you've went through other things besides having to, be on lookout or being aware of everything that was going on with Black Lives Matter, having to stand up as African American men and women to say enough is enough, right? Maybe there's personal issues that you've dealt with, relationship issues, health issues that, added on to the pain, added on to the sorrow. So we're going to discuss, how do we heal from these things? How do we move from the pain, get back to our purpose, and start prospering, okay, even in a pandemic, and start having our prayers answered, right? How do we heal? How do we feel better? How do we get better in the midst of everything that has happened in 2020, in the midst of a horrible aftermath of our 2020 election, where, we had domestic terrorism, where we watched domestic terrorists actually storm our Capitol, right? And I'm not going to get all into politics, but if you're like me, that was very emotional. That was very heartbreaking to me and devastating to see that in our country that we're still dealing with such division, such hate, such racism, right? And such panic during the pandemic and such confusion during the rollout of the vaccine, during the rollout of testing and treatment, and just basically trying to stay safe and alive. And before we go into, I'm going to share three tips that will help you heal, that will help you heal no matter what you're going through. But before we get into that, I just want to say God bless every single one who's listening, who has been sick with COVID, with coronavirus, who has loved ones who are sick or hospitalized, or maybe you were hospitalized, and especially for those who have lost loved ones due to the coronavirus or just any loss in general, because I know it's hard, okay? I know it's hard. We're all in this together, and we're all going to heal, and we're all going to get better together, God willing, and I pray to God that that we're coming out of this. We are coming out of this. God says to pray, to turn from our wicked ways, to repent, and He will hear from us in heaven and heal our land. So I invite you and I implore you to keep on praying, okay? Even if you don't see immediate results, even if it looks like it's just so dark and there's no light at the end of the tunnel, know that it is darkest before dawn and that the light is still here. The light that is our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is still here. Jesus saves and God is still in control. So let's just keep going. We're going to, again, the topic for today is how do we heal? And the key word here is we, all right? Because we're all in this together. The sun shines on good and bad alike. The rain pours on good and bad alike as well, right? So we need to be mindful that we are in this together. And whether we agree, whether we disagree, or we agree to disagree about anything, whether it's who you voted for in the 2020 election, whether it's how to best handle the pandemic, whether it's what should we be on a shutdown or not? Whatever that is, I want you to know that we are all in this together. And if we heal, we'll heal together. But if we suffer, we're going to suffer together, right? So let's stop all the dividing, the division, the finger pointing, the blame game. And let's just do these three things. And if we do them, and we are an example to our loved ones, an example to our families, our friends, even the world, then I truly, truly believe that we can heal and we can change our situation for the better. So number one, the first thing that we must do if we want to heal, if we want to experience any type of healing, whether it's in this pandemic, whatever, we have to love, okay? We have to remember that the word says above all things, love, love God, love your neighbors as you love yourself. Okay. And then remember what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not self-seeking. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Love covers all, right? Love never fails. And let's be real, sometimes it's hard to love. Sometimes it is hard to love. When you're down and out, when you feel like somebody has done you wrong for no reason, when you feel like life is just unfair, right? Sometimes it's hard to love. Sometimes it's hard to show that loving kindness to others, right? Sometimes it's hard even to show that loving kindness to ourselves. And that is something that we have to be reminded of constantly, right? God is love. And if we show the love that God continues to give us every single day, every single day he wakes you up with breath in your body. Every single day he wakes you up and clothes you and feeds you. Every single day he gives you a purpose. Every single day he says, keep going, daughter. Keep going, son. You are my child. I will never leave you or forsake you. Every time he answers your prayer, that is God showing love, that unconditional love, that love like no other. And if we can just be an example, if we can just take a little piece of that love that we receive from God and pass it on to others, then guess what? I promise you, the healing will begin. And then we cannot forget to love ourselves. Some of us, we're so hard on ourselves and we forget how to love ourselves. We forget about that self-love, right? We were talking about in my Facebook group, Sisters Women's Empowerment Network, which I am CEO and founder of, where I teach women entrepreneurs how to use their God-given gifts and talents to create wealth while serving others. We were talking about the love languages. And one of our members, she teaches on the 5 self-love languages. Okay, so how do you like to be loved? How do you like to show love to yourself? Do you need that quality time with yourself? Do you need to take some time out to take that bubble bath? Do you need to listen to your favorite music? Do you need to get out into nature and walk? What is it that you need to do to show yourself that loving kindness so that you'll be able to pass that on to others? Because sometimes it's so hard for us to give love to others because we've forgotten to give that same love to ourselves. All right. And if you're a giver, if you're a helper, if you're constantly looking out for others, sometimes it gets hard, right? Sometimes you can get bitter. But the antidote and the answer to that, to not getting bitter, to not growing weary while doing good, is to take the time out to love yourself, okay? Take the time out. Maybe you need to go to your favorite ice cream shop and grab a scoop of ice cream, right? Maybe you need to watch a comedy movie to make you smile. All of these are parts of healing. And then when we learn to love ourselves, I promise you it is so easy to love others, because now that you've given that self-love to yourself, and you know what you need to make you feel better, you can send that text message to someone else to say, hey, I'm just checking on you. How are you? You can pick up that phone and make that phone call to that person who may be shut in, who may be alone, quarantined during the pandemic, to say, just checking on you. You can pick up your computer and log on to Uber Eats and send someone a meal who may be suffering through coronavirus, right? You can send someone groceries through Instacart. There are so many things that we can do to show love to others. Sometimes it's just a word of encouragement to say, hey, you're going to make it. You can do it. God has not forgotten you. And sometimes it's just simple as remembering others in your prayers, right? There's so many ways that we can show love. So that's number one on how do we heal? How do we start to heal? As a country, as a nation, as the world, as families, as individuals, how do we heal? You have to be willing to show love. And sometimes I get it. You're tapped out. You're frustrated. You're sad. You may be heartbroken, devastated even. Okay. I get it. I have been there. Trust and believe. I have been there. There's been days when I said, God, why? Not just why me, but I'm done. You know, I've said it. I've written off people just to turn right around and pray for them. And then when I prayed for them, God worked it out. Not only did God work it out, but he showed me where I went wrong and how to pray and love on people. You have to love people in spite of them, okay? You have to love people in spite of them. Sometimes we have high expectations of how people should be. And it's not to say that, people won't get on your nerves or people won't do something that you don't agree with that, like I said, makes it hard to love. But guess what? Love anyway. Love anyway. Love in spite of and love anyway. That is the first and number one step and answer to the question, how do we heal? All right. So let's move on to number two. And I hope that number one uplifted you. And I just want you to know that I love you, that God loves you. All right. God loves us in spite of us. So let's take a moment to find ways that we can show that love to others. Okay. Even the unlovable, even the seemingly unlovable. So number two, it goes hand in hand with number one. And this one, it's harder, right? And these steps that I'm sharing with you, they're not easy. Sometimes they take practice. And we know practice makes perfect. So some of these you'll have to practice. You might fail. You practice, you may do better. You practice, you may think you got it, and then you fall again and you have to remind yourself, right? But we're not going to give up. Healing is a process. So each one of these steps within the healing process, as we answer the question, how do we heal, is a process. So don't be hard on yourselves if you can't get it right away, okay? We're all growing and we're all in different steps of our growth process, okay? So number two is to forgive. Forgive. And I can speak on this all day because it's something that I have struggled with. I used to think forgiving meant I had to admit or I had to that I was admitting that what that other person did was okay. Knowing they were wrong, wrong is two left shoes, right? But I used to really think that if I forgive somebody, then that's letting them off the hook. Or if I forgive somebody, that means that what they did to me was okay. No, no, no. That is not the case. Forgiving is actually for you, okay? Forgiving is releasing the hurt that the action caused you. Forgiving is releasing the need for revenge, all right? Because God says, vengeance is mine. It is mine to repay. When is the last time God told you a lie? I'll wait, right? Because God does not lie. He cannot lie. So if God says, vengeance is mine, it is mine to repay, then best believe anyone who has wronged you, all right, whether it was yesterday, whether it was today, whether it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, okay, God is in control. God is going to repay them. It's not up to us to worry. It's not up to us to seek revenge. It's not up to us to harbor grudges. It's not up to us to harbor that pain, because when you don't forgive, that's what you're doing. You're holding on to pain. You're voluntarily holding on to pain that is hurting you. Sometimes the people that we need to forgive, the people who have wronged us, don't even know that they need to be forgiven. They don't even know that you're holding a grudge. They don't even know. And sometimes they don't even care if they do know, right? So they're not in pain. They're not suffering. Yet here you are. You're suffering. You're reliving that moment. You're reliving that issue. You're reliving what happened in the past or what they did to you. You're reliving it over and over. Every time you think about them, every time something reminds you of them, you're hurting over and over again. You can't let it go. And what happens when you're holding on to something so tight? When you're holding on to that pain so tight and your hands are clenched, your teeth are clenched, and you're holding stress. Stress is all in your body. Your hands are so tightly closed and holding on to that unforgiveness that you can't open your hands to receive the blessings that God is trying to give you, the blessing of forgiveness that is truly for you and not for the other person. So if you look at it like that, I really had to, you know, look at it in a different perspective to be able to forgive others, to be able to smile and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I'm not holding on to that pain. Thank you, God, that I'm not holding on to that offense, that hurt, as wrong as it was, as painful as it was, as hurtful as it was. Thank you, God, that I'm able to release it, that I'm able to say I forgive. And sometimes it doesn't mean, this is another thing that stops a lot of people from being able to forgive, is because we think we're supposed to forgive someone a hurt, forgive someone an offense, and then reconcile with them immediately. Sometimes the only reconciliation that's needed is saying, God, I forgive. I let that offense go. I let that unforgiveness go. Sometimes the only reconciliation that is needed is with your thoughts and your mind about how you're thinking about that person in that situation. Forgive and let go. Let go and let God. Now, some relationships, they're worth salvaging. Some relationships, God is working even now to restore. And then let's flip it. While we're talking about forgiveness and forgiving others, we may be the ones who need to be forgiven, right? We're no saints. Nobody is perfect. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, right? So we have to remember that sometimes that forgiveness, we're the ones who need it. God, forgive me for anything I've said or done that is not pleasing to you, for any way that I've hurt anybody. Forgive me, right? I say that in a prayer every single day, because sometimes we offend others, we hurt others, and we may not be aware. Sometimes we may do it on purpose because we're hurting, right? Hurt people hurt people. So we have to learn to forgive. Forgive others and forgive ourselves. And when we do that, we're way on the road of healing, okay? So that's number two in how do we heal. Number one was to love. Number two is to forgive. And number three is we have to learn to act and not react. We have to learn to act and not react. That means we're going to be proactive in our actions, and our actions are going to be positive. Our actions are going to be results driven. Our actions are going to be wrapped in love, wrapped in forgiveness. We're not going to allow ourselves to react to every single word that's said to us that may hurt us or offend us. We're not going to allow ourselves to react to every trick of the enemy. The devil is working. Him and his minions are out here. They're trying to get your attention, get my attention. They're trying to divide. The devil comes for what? To steal, kill, and destroy, right? He's trying to steal your blessings. He's trying to kill your dreams. He's trying to destroy your destiny. And how does he do that? He does things. He sends situations, people, that causes us to react. So instead of acting as God-fearing, loving women and men of God, children of God, we just react. Someone throws something at us, we immediately react and throw it back. Someone steps on our toes, we step on their toes, but a little bit harder, right? We cannot afford to constantly react to everything that's going on around us, everything that's going on in this world, everything that you see on the media, you know, everything that you hear. We cannot afford to keep reacting. We have to learn to be proactive and to take positive action so that we can see change, whatever that positive action may be, right? Being leaders instead of followers, loving on each other instead of hating each other, forgiving even the unforgivable, right? And once we do all of those three things, once we learn to love, once we learn to forgive, once we learn to not react to every negative thing that comes our way, I promise you that healing will take place. And it's a beautiful thing. And oh my God, I can't believe our time is up right now, but I just want to say God bless you all. Thank you so much for continuing to tune in to the What Now God radio show. We're on first Fridays of every month. My name is Cheryl Woods. I am your host, and I just appreciate you and love you so much. God bless you, and I'll see you next time.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way radio channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.